Good morning, everyone. today's passage is from Luke 15, verses 11 to 32. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much once again for gathering us here today to share your word. Lord, it is just incredible how much gifts you give us. Sometimes we just sit back and take those in, and it's just incredible, just that glass of water you give us to drink when we're thirsty, and that piece of bread you give us when we're hungry. Lord, thank you. Be with us today. Be with the father and grandfathers today as it is their day, and let us have a great fellowship downstairs after the meeting today, and be with us for the rest of the week. In your lovely and blessed name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. For the past couple of days, I was trying to remember some things that my father had done or said to me that I would never forget. And then I had trouble in pinpointing one particular thing, because he had done so many things and he had said so many things, and he had tried almost anything to make his family and not to suffer during the war and after the war. But two things came into my mind, and I realized both things took place, one in the hospital and one in a waiting room in a hospital with my father. The first one was many years ago. I entered the hospital for some treatment, something, and my father came to visit me, and he said, he had tears, and he said, "Oh son, I wish I would be in that bed and not you." And by saying that, he was saying he was willing to exchange my pain and take away my pain, and he would suffer for me. The second one was later on. He was getting very old, or much older, and he was very weak, and I would take him to the hospital for examinations. And in the waiting room one day, he said, "Oh, son, don't get old because it's tough." I said, "Dad, the only way not to get old is to die young." And he said, "Oh, yes, that's true. No, no, get old." Most of us, I believe, we have something to remember about our fathers and grandfathers. And even my grandfather, I remember him very fondly because he was very proud of me. And he would squeeze my head and he would say, "No, no, there's a lot of rain there. I love you." And you know, little things that we do say and do may stay in the lives of those that we love forever. So Jesus wanted to show us, and I'm glad Elise said I changed it to, and she sang to the Heavenly Father. Only the last verse, I don't think everybody understood it because that was in Armenian. And Jesus chose to use the story of the ideal earthly father to illustrate the Heavenly Father. The father in Luke 15 had two sons who both became prodigal for a time. And you may say, what do you mean both of them? One only was a prodigal son. And the Bible and all the pastors and the preachers, most of them say the prodigal son. They don't say the prodigal sons. But in the next few minutes, we'll see that both of them actually became prodigal at a given time in their life. The younger was prodigal in choosing the pleasure of sin and the world. He wanted to live it up. The older one was prodigal in choosing pride of self. The text we read tells us that this was an approachable father. He was a wealthy father, and he was a loving father. And what better example Jesus could have given us of this father? Our Heavenly Father is a wealthy father. He is the wealthiest father that we can imagine of. He owns everything. He created everything, and he sustains everything, and he has everything we need. And also, our Heavenly Father is an approachable Father. And He is a loving Father. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, makes it very clear when John 3:16 says, "For God, our Father, loved us so much that He was willing to give His one and only Son, for whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The young son's dream was to find out what the world and its pleasures were like. And I believe that most young people, young men young women, have their own dreams, their own wishes, their own understanding of life and pleasure. And I even remember when I was a younger man, I had my own dreams. When I go to the Air Force, I'll do this and then that and all kinds of other things and pleasures that I dreamed of and I could never have because my parents were very strict. They wouldn't let me go here and there and do that. And yet I could imagine, I could dream, and those dreams often would become almost like reality. And this young man, being in a Middle Eastern situation, as Jesus told the story, He had his own dreams. He knew what pleasures were available out there, but he could not enjoy those pleasures because his dad was a God-fearing man, and he wouldn't let him go and do the things that others did, the pagans did, or the unbelievers did. And so his dream was to go out there, discover the world, and enjoy all the things that the world has to offer. He took whatever he could and left home. As a matter of fact, he didn't say, give me what inheritance I have, because usually inheritance is given when someone dies. A rich man dies and they open their will or his will, and there will be certain instructions given for the money or property or whatever the person has for his children or her children. But here the son comes and says, okay, whatever belongs to me. Actually, the father could have said, do you know what? Nothing belongs to you because everything belongs to me. And even you actually don't have the right to take anything before I die. But because he was a loving, kind, compassionate God, and because he respected his free will, he gave him what he thought was his portion. And again, this story tells us about the free will we have as human beings. God, the father could have said, no way, you belong here, you stay here, and I'll make sure that you never leave me. But that's not what he said. He said, okay, take whatever you want and go. But he did not shut the door. He did not burn the bridges. He said, I'm sure whenever you want to come back, you are welcome to come. He took whatever he could and left home. He started to live a riotous, a wild living, and he wanted to live his life his way, and he wanted to fulfill all his dreams. I mean, when I came to Canada about 49 years ago, I was 20, and finally I had left the magnetic pull of my parents. They, no matter what I did, my parents had a very powerful grip on me, I thought, and they wouldn't let me go there and do that and enjoy this and read that and experience this. And finally I was free. I came to Canada and I came to this church, and yet I wanted to experiment. I wanted to find a girlfriend. I wanted to find this. I wanted to read that. I wanted all the things that I thought I couldn't find back home. And for the first few months, I'm not going to build up a story and say that I tried drugs and this and that. No, I didn't. But in my heart, I knew that I had rebelled at the very basic principles that my parents had brought me up with. And then I started enjoying some of the things I was enjoying until the Holy Spirit came and got hold of me. So this young man left home. He wanted great freedom, and he found that great freedom. He dreamed of great freedom and power, but he found great temptations and failures. Believe it or not, no matter how much you enjoy that puff of grass you smoke, or the drinks that you drink, the gambling that you gamble, the cheating you do, the immorality you start participating in, all these things may give you a little pleasure for a moment, but they are deadly when you don't, when you continue living in sin. The Bible says that, and God said that. He dreamed of great adventures, but instead he found agony. He did try. He did find a lot of women and a lot of friends, and they started drinking and playing and having all kinds of activities, immoral activities. And I'm sure in the beginning he enjoyed every ounce of that and every moment of that, until he realized that there was pain attached to these enjoyments, if you wish, and agony. He dreamed of great adventures. He couldn't find them. He dreamed of prestige, but he found poverty and shame. We want to climb the steps or the stairs, and we want to reach some place in life. And on the way there, we step on other people and we cheat other people, and we sell our soul to the dollar or to devil just to reach where we want to reach. It's until we reach that place and see that we are empty and alone and lonely. He dreamed of romance and love, but instead he found rags and betrayal. How many of you have not experienced betrayal? How many of you have not realized that the person that you thought loved you so much, that was willing to do everything for you, until you realize that when things changed a little bit and circumstances changed, that person not only left you, but he became almost your enemy? That's what happened with the friends of this prodigal son, if you wish. He thought they were his friends, but they became actually his enemies and for his downfall. He dreamed of success and happiness, but instead he found himself feeding pigs. And I believe that often people who you see in the streets, sometimes beggars or alcoholics, please despise them. Don't call them bad things, because you never know where they came from. And you never know what led them to that place in life. They could have been doctors and lawyers and all kinds of great people, until they, like the prodigal son, wanted to experience something, that something led them to poverty and disaster. He dreamed freedom and independence away from his father, but instead he was now dreaming of his father's home and love. You can run as far as you want and as fast as you wanna, you can, away from God, but God is always there. God is always ready to help and strengthen you and pick you up from gutter and wash you away. And while he wanted freedom from his father and the influence of his father and the control of his father, he did find that. He did get away, but now he wanted to go back under his father's roof and with his father and mom, I'm sure. He wanted to go back, but some things were holding him back. He dreamed leaving home, but instead he was now thinking of a way to return to his father, who was an approachable father. What he was in the pig pen, this prodigal son remembered that his father was a loving father. He finally came to his senses and said, "I'll go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you.'" You see, the prodigal son in his mind associated his father with heaven. "I have sinned against heaven and against you" means that when he thought of heaven, he thought of his father. And when he thought of his father, he thought of heaven. And when I reread this statement a few times, I really felt so small as a father and a grandfather. Because I realized that what I would want my children, my grandchildren to associate me with would be heaven and God, and godly things and holy things and clean things. We see this prodigal son, he was thinking of his father, but at the same time, heaven was coming into his mind. Why was that? Because his dad was a godly man, and he could not separate his father from the heavenly father because They both represented love, compassion, and sensitivity. He could not be reminded of God without remembering his father. His father surely was a man who walked with God. What an impression his father's life must have made on his son. And once again, we as fathers, those of us who are fathers and grandfathers, and those of you who are mothers and grandmothers, those of you who are brothers and sisters, and Christians must remember that there are all these audiences, people who are watching us and people who want to see how we live our Christianity and how we reflect that love, that compassion, that purity that we always try to teach them to live. And when the moment comes that they would like to look around in their mind, in their heart, in the world, someone that they can go back to in their thoughts, our prayer is that they should remember us. They should, but do they? Will they? His son could not forget or escape from the powerful impression his father had made on him. He remembered his father at prayer. He remembered his father in devotions, his godly walk, his faithfulness. I often feel that we take things for granted. Reading the Bible at home as a father with my wife, I think I'm doing myself and my wife good, but I believe that my grandchildren and children, if they see us reading together and praying together, they will know that there is such a thing as praying together and reading the Bible together and being united spiritually. And that will leave a great big impression in their hearts and in their minds. And if they don't change right away, and if they don't emulate or they don't reflect that right away, one day, like the prodigal son, will come back and say, I remember my dad. I remember my mom. They would pray together. Let me try that with my wife. Let me try that with my husband. Let me try that with my children. And what we sow, that's what we reap oftentimes. His father was a godly man. What about you and I? This father was loving and affectionate. Verse 20 says, he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. Kissed him? He came out of the pig pen. He did not have a shower for a long time. His clothes were stinking, They were smelling bad and like filth. And yet the father didn't say, okay, now hold him in. Hold him. Go now, have a shower, and come and tell me, I'm sorry, Dad, I messed up my life, and then I'll think about it. And then I'll see whether I'm willing to forgive you or not. But first, clean up your act and promise that you'll never do it again. He could have said that, but he did not. What he did was he ran and hugged his son and kissed him. Smell and filth all at once were there, but his son was more important than all that. The father never stopped loving him. The father was waiting for him. The father was waiting for him. Can you imagine? Do you know how many fathers are waiting? And this morning we're talking about the fathers. So please, mothers, understand. I'm not saying fathers are more loving and compassionate than mothers. But today, at least, let's remember the fathers. Do you know how many fathers have been waiting for their children to come back, to return from where they are? They could be living with them in the same house, and yet they're not there. So the prayer of a father, the prayer of a mother, is for their children to come back into the family of God. But Only a godly mother and father can pray for their children. And if the parents, if the father doesn't have that connection with God, if the father does not have that relationship with God, if the father is not plugged into the source of power with God, then he will not have a prayer for his son or a daughter, and he will not have the love that is needed to love and be compassionate to a son or a daughter that have messed up their lives. He ran to meet him. His son was returning. The time away from him made no difference. The smell of the pigs made no difference. The rags made no difference. Nor did his empty pocket make any difference. This father loved both his sons. When his older son refused to go in and join his father and brother, his father went out and pleaded with him, "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." The failures of his sons did not stop his father from loving them. He loved both sons, but both sons had their own demons to fight. One was pleasure in the world, the other one was his pride and his selfishness. Your failures have not stopped God from loving you. But you must return to God to receive His forgiveness and love. Come to the Heavenly Father. Do it now. He's waiting for you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for being always there for us to come back to. Father, we thank you for being so loving, compassionate, and forgiving. Touch each one of us this morning, Lord. And help us to see your love and the compassion you have for each one of us. You are our Heavenly Father. You care, you love, and you protect. Lord, help us to not only demand things, but be ready to serve. Serve as fathers, serve as brothers, serve as Christians, and be ready to love and be compassionate. In your blessed name I pray, Amen.